Well, as you know, this week culminates with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, historically. Not happening this week, as we know. But almost 2,000 years ago. It's an incredible week. It's a pivotal week for mankind as far as everything changed after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, for what God had made available to Old Testament believers versus new. I mean, I understand that he had to go to heaven, the giving of the Holy Spirit, but basic time frame, that is like the game changer, is when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So tomorrow night was the Monday night, was the night that he had his last meal with the apostles and perhaps other believers, and went to the Garden of Gethsemane and taught many great things, and they sang some hymns, they sang some hers, that type of thing. And then he was apprehended, as we know, by the Sanhedrin guard. And then he went through all that beatings and the things that he went through for our healing, great things that he did. And then they led him to Calvary on Wednesday morning, and they nailed him to the tree around 9 o'clock, and he hung there for 6 hours, which had to be painful. And then he died at about 3 o'clock. And then he had to be buried, as you know, before sunset, which was about 6 o'clock. So sometime between 3 and 6, he was buried on Wednesday afternoon. And then 3 days and three nights later, Saturday afternoon, between 3 and 6, he rose up. And one exciting thing that was and still is. But in Romans 4, it gives a little bit of information about some of the accomplishments with this resurrection, because it is a big deal that he was raised from the dead, as we know. Verse 24 says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So it took care of our previous sins, and justification is something where God makes it as if we haven't sinned, as far as how he looks at us and deals with us. Chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." These are just a couple of things, the great things that God was able to accomplish because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. So we're going to go to Acts 2 now, Acts chapter 2. As we know, Jesus Christ did not raise himself. He wasn't able to because he was dead. he was dead, just as dead as a dead person is going to be. No less dead. He could not raise himself. He believed that God would raise him when the time came, but he did not raise himself. And the thing about the resurrection, there wasn't any line or big crowds around the sepulcher waiting for Jesus Christ to raise up from the dead. You know, there was no paparazzi, there were no magazine people there, no TV camera people and all this stuff. There was a girl that lived a couple houses away from here. She had an adventure with the New York governor a few years ago. And I remember putting one of the kids to bed that looked towards the cul-de-sac, and it was just starting to get dark, and I started noticing a whole bunch of news vans out across the street, and I said, "Oh, something's gotta be up." Well, they were waiting for her to come out the door. So I was like, "Oh, okay." There was nobody waiting at the sepulcher, at the tomb, for Jesus Christ. You know, it's like, okay, it's just after 3, and it could be any minute now. And you got all the, nobody. The world was just not there. Nobody had any interest. The only people that kind of bumped into them, the women, the Marys, they went early Sunday morning to add spices and stuff. You know, they thought Joseph of Arimathea didn't do a thorough enough job wrapping him, so they were gonna fix it. They happened to, you know, because of that concern, not because they believed he was gonna get up and wanted to see the action. So it was funny. Sam and Desi stayed here on Thursday night because they had a very, very early flight Friday morning. And so I told them I'd get up a couple minutes after they were going to get up as a backup in case, because Sam's a pretty heavy sleeper. I thought, well, just in case they didn't hear their phone or something. So I got up and there was a big bright light underneath the door. And I said, okay, well, they're up. So then I was going to see them when they left. And I was going downstairs just like a minute or two before they were going to leave. And as I was walking by the bedroom door, they were in, the door was open, the light was out, and I laughed. I said, looks like the empty tomb. Looks like the empty tomb. But you know, before it was this bright light in there. Now it's dark and the door's open. That's the way my brain thinks. It. But anyway.
Where were the guards protecting the door?
They were sleeping. Ellie was on the bed in the bedroom. Wesley's sleeping in the crib. Gone, goodbye. So, but nobody waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to rise up from the dead. And part of it is because even though God made it known to people in the Old Testament, it was kind of hidden in their understanding. And we're going to go, I said Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 22. This is on the day of Pentecost, Peter speaking concerning things of God's word about what had just occurred and about the resurrection. And David, our wonderful David that Mary shared a lot of great things on last week, he understood that Jesus Christ was going to be raised from the dead and looked forward to it. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou allow thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with him, sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. David had an understanding of that Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, would be raised up from the dead. And there were, as you know, you can track it through the Old Testament, there were people who had an understanding of it and looked forward to it. But for the most part, it was hidden to most people. That's why there was no big paparazzi. at the tomb. When you think about it, the fulcrum item, the big event God's been waiting for, and nobody's there. I mean, nobody. The only guy that really kind of expected it was Joseph of Arimathea. That's why he wrapped him up so quick and said, "He's going to be up in 3 days, no big fuss." You know, just amazing when you think about it. But how big of a deal it was and is. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. So David understood it and joyed because of it and rejoiced, made his mouth glad, which means he just spoke great things concerning it. Mark chapter 9, there's somebody else that was aware of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that was Jesus Christ. He knew. And here's a record where he's towards the end of his time, getting close to this time of year, where he knew he was going to be crucified, and he's sharing this information with the apostles. And it's chapter 9, verse 31. It says, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask." It just didn't make any sense to them, because what they were seeing was a mighty man operating the power of God, healing people, raising people from the dead, and doing all kinds of things, resisting the onslaught of religion, resisting storms. There was nothing that he couldn't conquer. For them, him to say, "Well, these guys are going to kill me and bury me, you know, put me in the earth. I'm going to be dead." It was just shocking to them, and they just couldn't put it together in their minds. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. But Jesus Christ was very sure of what God was going to do for him after he gave up his life. He was so sure, totally convinced. So this is after the resurrection, I think it's the same day. He's on his road to Emmaus, and these are the two guys that were walking to Emmaus. You remember this, I'm sure. In verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." Because word had gotten out that it seemed like Jesus wasn't in his tomb anymore, but nobody was really, for the most part, accepting that information as true. So they're walking this village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And are what? Sad." They were really sad. Their Lord, who they thought was going to do all these things, was crucified, you know, killed in a horrific death. And it wasn't making any sense. And they couldn't put it together. They're talking about it. They're sad. Jesus Christ pulls up right next to them and says, "Hey, why are you guys so sad?" But that's because they weren't looking to... You know, they thought, he said he was going to be our Savior and stuff, but it didn't work out, it looks like. Verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known these things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" I always thought that was funny. And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he, so even with that, they're not saying, they're not all excited and saying, hey, I know Peter who saw the empty tomb. I know Mary who's, I know, you know, it's like if John saw Jesus Christ were the empty tomb and he reported it to us, I think we would say, yeah, I know John. He's pretty good with information. Yeah, okay, it's a great possibility. I wouldn't be bummed out and say, oh, that can never be happening. They were sad. So he reproves them, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he spent time with them as they walked and showed them things in the scriptures from the Old Testament, and like it says, about what he was. And part of that was the resurrection. He brought that up. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Part of that is the resurrection, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Just wonderful. But he for sure, Jesus Christ, was very aware he was going to be raised from the dead. He knew God, his Father, was going to do it. And there were some people expecting, but not many. And these guys, even after they heard from numerous sources, still were having a hard time. And I'm not saying they were terrible. We probably all have done the same thing. I don't know. But it's incredible how few people really understood the greatness of what had just occurred to them. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. The good news is they did get it. It didn't take them too long. Jesus appeared to them a number of times, walked with them, he was on earth for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And they got to a point that they were convinced. By Pentecost, they were convinced. And then they started preaching about the resurrection. Chapter 4, verse 2, the Sadducees got hold of these apostles and says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So the good news is that maybe they didn't get it at first, but when they did get it, they started talking about it. They recognized the greatness of what it really represented. And then verse 33, same chapter. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Chapter 13 of Acts. The resurrection is really a big deal. And God had made mention of it and made it known. It's just that most people just didn't comprehend it and weren't expecting, like I said, not a person at the gravesite waiting. You know, I think when the Beatles came to the United States in 1964, thousands of screaming teenagers were at the airport waiting for them to come out of the airplane. How much a bigger event was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Something really wild. Chapter 13, at verse 28. This is Paul preaching in a synagogue, and he makes reference to these things. Verse 28, it says, and though they found not cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So, as it says in the beginning of verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us. You know, God did fulfill his promise that he was going to raise the Redeemer up. It happened. He said it would happen. He said he would do it. And then he did it. Now he's saying he did do it, or the apostles are. But he fulfilled his word, that promise concerning that, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believed are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Let's go to chapter 17 of Acts. So it's a big deal, and it encompasses all through the book of Acts, you know, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course through the epistles as far as the accomplishments of what that brought. Chapter 17, verse 18. Paul is was invited to talk to some of these Greek philosophers. Verse 18 says, Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, What will this babbler say? Others said, He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. That seemed very foreign of a concept to them. So he goes through this wonderful teaching of God's word. And then at the end, verse 32, it says, And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was these couple people and a woman and others. But those were the three reactions. Some mocked it and said, that is just absolutely ridiculous. People don't raise up from the dead. But God doesn't do stuff like that. Others said, you know, this is maybe a possibility. We ought to spend some time doing a data study and other things to see what would really, if this really could be, you know, type of thing. And others believed it and clove to the words that Paul had said. We're in that third part. We heard it and said, yeah. Okay, I'm good. So it's just an amazing. When God does say he's going to do something, he does it. Unlike man, man could say a lot of things. Like Peter told Jesus after he had heard about Jesus going to die. And he said, nope, that won't happen to you. You can't do that. And then he said, I'll stand with you forever. I'll die with you. And then a couple minutes later, he's gone. I mean, we're all like that in certain ways. We say one thing and do another. God's not like that. God, when he speaks that he's going to do something, he absolutely will do it. And he promised that he was going to raise the Redeemer. And whether the world was ready or not, whether the world believed it or not, didn't matter. He did what he was going to do, and it was just that way. The scoffers didn't stop it. Couldn't. Those guards couldn't stop it. the big rock that rolled in front of it couldn't stop it, because God moved. Let's go to 1st, Ephesians chapter 1. So what about other promises God has made? The resurrection was one of them, in the sense that he said it was going to do it. Jesus Christ acknowledged it, believed that, and but it was God that actually did the act of raising. But God has promised a lot of things in God's, in his word. Remember the scripture, I'm just going to read it. In Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, when God speaks, he will come through. We may try to put him in a time frame and frustrate ourselves, but if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And there are many, many, many things that God says that he will do or has done or is doing that we could look at, but this is just a couple. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, or token, is another way to say it, or down payment of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So when we buy a car, generally you put a down payment down, or you buy a house, you put a down payment down, and you say, oh, I bought a car today. You haven't fully paid for it, perhaps, but you bought a car. The proof that you bought a car is that you put a deposit down on it, or any other type of thing you buy, and you put a deposit down on it. And God utilized the gift of Holy Spirit that he gave us, as our deposit. That's our down payment. When we utilize that Spirit of God, we know absolutely that the full redemption of mankind, which is coming in the future, that hasn't come to pass yet, will happen. You know, it's our earnest, it's our assurity, it's our down payment, so to speak, which is just a wonderful thing that he gave us, something that we can latch onto and say, yeah, I can do this. I know I'm going to be fully redeemed, and you know, all the things coming up in the future. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, very commonly known verse of scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 7. No, chapter 4. Just a little Bible humor. Chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. And here are words that we've probably read, I don't know, thousands and thousands of times, and think about thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And those words, these words are true. They have not come to pass yet. But at one time in the Old Testament, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come to pass yet. But he came through with doing what he said he would do. So when we read these verses, we can know of a surety that if God says he's going to do it, he will do it. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the Lord archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, the dead and those who have died, they will rise first, and then if it happened today, and we're still alive by the end of this teaching, we will be go after him. But you know, it's just like a fraction of a second difference. Not like we're going to get cheated out if you're still alive. It's not like you're missing out. You're missing one minuscule of a part of a second, so to speak. But God's such an orderly God, he had to put somebody first. And that's what he chose to do. The guys that have been waiting a while, they get a head start. But this is as certain as certain is certain. You know? Was Jesus Christ certain before he gave his last breath on that cross? Was he certain, absolutely certain, that he was going to be raised up from that sepulcher? Absolutely. There's nothing talking him out of it. He knew it was going to happen. But he himself didn't do the raising. He was dead. God raised him from the dead. Let's go to lastly, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the wonderful thing about having the gift of Holy Spirit, which is part of it, is that is a earnest, or it's a proof, it's a down payment of our full redemption. Full redemption is when we get all the stuff that happens that's spoken of in Book of Revelation and all the things that are, you know, future events, and they come to pass, then we are fully redeemed. You know, there won't be any death, there won't be any sorrow, there won't be any sickness, there won't be any crying. Even with kids, there won't be any crying. You know, they'll live without crying. Imagine it. But that's the full claim of the redemption. We're waiting for the full redemption. We have been redeemed. We've got our ticket. We're on our way, but we haven't been fully redeemed yet. We still get sick. We still can die. We still can complain. All those wonderful things we'll watch. But it's definitely going to happen, which is really great. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, referring to death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's a switch. That's your chance. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow, that's going to be nice. It's a promise that death is going to be swallowed up. God has already talked to death and said, it's in the Old Testament, I will have no mercy on you. Mm-hmm. He's already claimed it to him. You're not getting out of this. Death, you will be destroyed. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And then you can have fun going like they're doing great. Where is your sting, O grave, you know? Where is it now? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in light of that, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So knowing all that's going to happen in the future, God wants us to walk for him and do his work while we're here. But it's just a great realization, as sure as it was that the resurrection happened, and we have proof because we can utilize the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can speak in tongues. If you can speak in tongues, that means what was made available because of the resurrection has happened. This light is shining. It's got electricity. We know it's got electricity in it because it's got a cord that goes to a little plug. It's not a battery operated. But we know there's electricity in the wire because the light bulb's on. I don't know about that one over there. But how sure is it? I mean, it's just so sure. And, manifestations the other night some of us were together for prayer. And, he just said his word, he will bring his word to pass. He does. And it blessed me because he said, hey, that's my teaching tonight. But he already let the cat out of the bag. Isn't it nice, though, to know that it is so absolutely sure? There's more sure than anything we can look at. Like, I saw the sun come up a little bit, but then it hid behind the clouds. I didn't say, oh, no, the sun left. No, I know the sun's behind the clouds. I'm sure of that. Every day we've lived, it's sunshine. I mean, you kind of figure it out after a while. Okay, I guess that's the way the sun works. And that's the way God works. In our short little lifetime, we recognize that God can do what he says he's going to do. And it's kind of goofy because, I mean, God is so sure of himself that man has to get to a point to acknowledge, yeah, God, I guess you do have it together. Yeah, you really do what you say you're going to do. But what a privilege. And what a wonderful thing to be part of people that are on this earth today that are looking forward to the second, the return of Jesus Christ to gather us. There are a lot of people don't even know about it. And then to just be so sure of it and to be, it is a joy to know of it. And so God has already made one big move with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he made a big move given the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And got a big move coming up. Nothing's gonna stop God. He's got his own timetable. We can't pray in the return for next week. We can't be good enough to get the return next week. Nor can we stop it with unbelief. We can't say, I don't think that's gonna happen. I mean, we could say that, but it's not gonna affect. God's gonna do it. That's just the way it is. It's like when the realization of a kid that hasn't left the house yet realizes that whatever he did, okay, I know I'm going to get it for this. when that realization sets in. Okay. But bad analogy. But God is sure and his word is sure. So it's nice to have a father like that, not yanking us around. So it's nice to just not be doubting it. It really is. So that's what I wanted to share.